Good morning, everyone. It is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to be with you. I love coming to the bridge and I love spending time with you. And it always is a huge privilege for me to be allowed, I think, the honor of sharing your journey, worshiping together and walking together. And thank you so much. I love the umbrella amnesty, it's great. So if you've got one of those, hand them back. We know where you live, we will find you, and we will take our umbrellas back. Okay, that's what I'm going to say. Okay, wonderful. And what great way to celebrate and worship the Lord. And as Jordan has said, it is my amazing privilege this morning to kick off a mini-series on mission. So if you've got a Bible anywhere close to you and you want to follow a bit of a reading with me, I'm going to read from the Gospel of Luke. And I'm going to read a beautiful story from Luke chapter 8. So if you'd like to follow with me, that's great. If you're a guest with us or you're online and you don't have a Bible, don't worry about it. You'll catch the gist of the story. But if you've got one handy, then why don't you grab it right now? And I'm going to read part of this beautiful, beautiful story for you. And it's Luke chapter 8, verse 26. And it says this, "They," that's Jesus and his disciples, sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit or the unclean spirit to come out of the man. Many times the unclean spirit had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and he had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. Awkward moment. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this to the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to see Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with Jesus. But Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Gorgeous story, amazing story. It's a story that's in three of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about this incredible story. And it tells us this moment of transformational deliverance in this man's life. This man has been tormented and demonized by these demons for many, many years. Jesus comes along and sets the man free. And it's an incredible story. But the story sort of climaxes in an interesting end of story conversation. And it's that little end of story conversation that I want to lean into for a few moments, because in the end of story conversation, we see a little bit of a clash of desire and purpose in the context of the relationship between this man and Jesus that is just developing. I don't know if you noticed it, but the language is very interesting. As Jesus is about to go and get into the boat because the people want rid of him, the people are terrified about what has happened. As Jesus is getting into the boat, it says this, that the man begged or asked to go with him. Now, what's really interesting there is the word being used there can be translated simply to ask, but it's got a sort of a nuance to it where the asking is a sort of a sign of need. The man is saying, can I go with you? Not just because I want to go with you, but the man is saying, can I go with you because I need you? All right, are you with me? So he's not just saying, hey, Jesus, can I hang out with you? He's saying to Jesus, I need to go with you. Can I go with you? And that's not a surprising thing that would happen. The man's just had his life turned upside down. Chaos is reigning with the pigs being drowned. The people are in fear. And the man probably just wants to get out of there and go with Jesus. And so he says to Jesus, can I go with you? And the nuance of the word is, I need to go with you. And yet, look at the response of Jesus. The response of Jesus is really quite striking. It says that Jesus sent him away and said to him, go back to your home and tell everybody what the Lord has done for you. And again, the word there is really interesting, a bit stronger than sent away. The word there literally could mean that Jesus loosed him away. So you get this sort of clash happening right at the end of the story. On one side, the man's going, please, 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 please let me go with you because I need to go with you. And on the other side, Jesus is going, no, I'm loosing you to go back to your town. You don't need to be with me. You need to go back to your home. You need to go back to your world and you need to tell them all that God has done for you. And we get this beautiful clash. It just feels like a simple conversation at the end, but it's really strong. The man is expressing a need of Jesus. Can I go with you? And Jesus is expressing the fact that the man's home from which he's come needs Jesus, and the man needs to go to that. So when you put them both together, we get this sort of gorgeous idea that the man feels he needs the Lord, but the Lord feels that the man's home needs the man. Jesus, I need you. Which is true, absolutely. And who would blame him for saying what he says? But Jesus is in fact saying to him, but they need you. Are you with me? The man wanted to stay, but Jesus wanted him to go. The man was thinking, can I say this carefully, and I don't mean this critically, because I get it. The man was thinking about himself. But Jesus was thinking about the man's world. Return home and declare how much God has done for you. And I think right there in that gorgeous end of story conversation, I think that's the tension me and you face a lot. That the tension between wanting to stay with Jesus, wanting to be with Jesus, wanting to get more of Jesus, wanting to walk with Jesus and have Jesus sort of in our world and to ourselves. And then the very Jesus we're wanting to be with is actually wanting me and you to go to our world. Now, of course, we're going with him. We're going because of him, but he wants a people that are not just wanting to be with Jesus, but he's wanting a people who will carry Jesus to their world. And so often in our journey as followers of Jesus, if we're not careful, we fall into the trap of just wanting to stay with him. And why not? But the Jesus we want to stay with wants to loose us to go. The Jesus that we love, the Jesus that we want to stay with, the Jesus that we want to bless us, that same Jesus is saying to me and you, I want to loose you back to your home. I want to loose you back to your world. I want to loose you to something beyond this moment. And that's the tension that we see expressed here in this beautiful story. The man wanted to stay. Jesus wanted him to go. The man was understandably thinking about himself, and Jesus was thinking about the man's world. And that's the tension that we face when it comes to mission. And mission's a loaded term. And mission could be a bit of a terrifying term. But mission, really, in the context of the Gospels, is me and you carrying the Jesus that we've met back to our world, whatever that world looks like. Or me and you doing whatever we can with the stuff that the Lord has given us so that Jesus can be carried to the world that doesn't yet know he exists. And the man sort of catches this. I don't know if you noticed it in our end of story reading. It says this, he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. The word proclaiming there literally is that word we get from preaching the gospel. He becomes a preacher of the gospel. And the only gospel he knows is, I was once demonized and now I'm free. And Jesus did it. That's his message. He hasn't been to Bible school. He hasn't done a discipleship course. He hasn't, you know, gone through a beautiful small group network. He hasn't got anything. He's no resources. He doesn't even have a Bible. All he knows is, I was once demonized and living like an animal amongst the tombs. Now I'm clothed and in my right mind and I've been transformed. And the difference between my former life and my current life is Jesus. And Jesus says to him, that's all you need. Just go and tell the Jesus story to your world. Come on now. And if you've got a Jesus story, I've got a Jesus story, if we've got a Jesus story as a community and as individuals, we are being asked by the Jesus who gave us that story to tell our story and to share it with the world, either directly or through programs or through support or through different things that we can do, we're being asked to do that. And that tension between being with Jesus and going on behalf of Jesus is one that exists throughout the church and one that we must wrestle with so that we are a community that learn to do both. We are a community that learn to enjoy being with Jesus in settings like this, but we're also a community that understands we need to take Jesus to our world. Does that make sense? And Jesus looses this man, and I believe he wants to loose us. And I think Jesus wants to loose us, using the story, into a bigger go. Into an understanding that what he's sending us to is bigger. And this is an idea that I believe is at the very heart of the gospel. I hope this doesn't sound too cheesy. You've probably heard this before. It works brilliantly in English. But within the word gospel, within the word good news, gospel, there is go. That actually part of the gospel is not only that Jesus, as it were, accepted his go by coming to the world, but those who have received the gospel are being encouraged to go. And within the good news of Jesus, there is a go. And here this man is being asked to go. And from the story, there's a couple of little beautiful insights into the type of go that Jesus wants them to do. And I want to reflect those with you for a few moments this morning. Here's the first thing I want you to see. The go of Jesus is always bigger than me. The go of Jesus, the go of the gospel, is always bigger than me. Now look at this, look what happens. The man says, I want to go with you. Beautiful, understandable. But here's what Jesus says, return to your home. Right? In asking the man to return to his home, Jesus is automatically showing him that what has just happened to him is not just for him. And it's not just about him, but Jesus has done something in him, absolutely wonderful, transformational for him. But now Jesus wants to do something through him to his world. I want to go with you. Wow, absolutely. Jesus says, yeah, but I want you to go home. Because your home needs you. And actually, that's right at the heart of an understanding of an engagement with Jesus. When we engage with Jesus properly, it's never just about me. When I meet with Jesus, if I'm touching the heart of Jesus, it will always lead me to a place beyond me. It's never about just me. It's never about it centering on me. It's never about the focus being on me alone. Now, I'm important. You're important. Does the Lord want to bless me? Yes. Does the Lord want to bless you? Yes, 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 yes. All of that is absolutely true. But that's not where it stops. It's meant to go from this marvelous experience and encounter with Jesus to recognizing that there is now a world that needs the same encounter with Jesus. And so if I've encountered him, then actually what he wants me to do is carry that encounter back to my world. And the man wants to go with Jesus, but Jesus wants him to go home. Right immediately, the man is introduced to the idea that the gospel, the good news, even my relationship with Jesus is bigger than me. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that we've got to just be careful of in our modern 21st century church is that we are reducing our experience with Jesus down to something totally me-centric. And it's not me-centric. The gospel is not me-centric. The gospel is Jesus-centric. And when it's Jesus-centric, the gospel will always demand something bigger of me. Something beyond John Andrews. Are you with me? Come on, are you with me? Yes. Now, this is important. This is at the heart of the gospel. The heart of the gospel has a going in it because Jesus wants us to take him to our world. I stand before you today as one of the most blessed people in the world. Over 7 billion people live on the planet, and I am one of the most blessed on this planet. I've encountered Jesus. I've met the Son of God. The Son of God has come into my world and changed my life. I've experienced his resurrection glory. We started our service with, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and allow the King of Glory to come in. Quite literally, in my life, the King of Glory has come in. So right there, if there was nothing else on my CV, that makes me one of the most blessed and privileged people on planet Earth. I have literally met and had my life transformed by Jesus Christ. So right there, right now, I am blessed, I'm wealthy in the most amazing way, touched and filled by the power of the Spirit. But on top of that, I live in a nation that is politically stable. Ish. I live in a nation that at least at the moment is religiously free. I live in a nation regarded as one of the wealthiest in the world. I don't know how people work that stuff out, but that's what they say about the United Kingdom. Right now, as I speak to you, I own my own home. We have two cars on the drive. I experienced a world-class education free at the point of need. I have enough wealth to not only feed myself, but a little bit extra. Yesterday morning, I went to the cinema. That's how wealthy I am. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm being serious. have enough wealth, not only to have enough food in my table, the whole family, took the whole family yesterday morning to watch Paddington. Easy. To watch a talking bear talk to me for an hour and a half. It is marvelous, by the way. It is definitely worth a look. You will enjoy Paddington. But we sat there and enjoyed ourselves. That's how wealthy I am. I'm wealthy enough to afford someone else washing my car while I sit in it, while they wash it for me. I have a passport. Most humans on earth don't own a passport. I have a passport with stamps on it. I've got to travel around the world, but most of all, as a follower of Jesus, I have opportunity. Now, John, why have you said all of that to me? I'm saying this. Listen, if Jesus never blessed me with another thing for the rest of my life, I stand right now as one of the most blessed humans on planet Earth. Because he's in my life. The Holy Spirit has come into my world. He has also blessed me with a whole bunch of stuff that if I recognize he's given that to me, this becomes the means of opportunity to go back to my world, whatever that means, and bless my world because Jesus has blessed me. Go back and tell your world what the Lord has done for you. And one of the great dangers in our Christian life is that, and please don't hear what I'm not saying. If you're in need today, then this is the best place to come. But one of the dangers in our Christian life is we're blessed and then we want more blessing and more blessing and more blessing and more. Lord, just give me some more, give me some more, give me some more. And I sort of hear all of that, but I want to just caution us a little bit. There has to come a moment when the more translates into generosity and giving into our world. Come on now. You've gone quiet on me. But that's the truth. And Jesus wants us to be people who take what he has given us, take what he has done for us, and go home with it. It's not just for me, although it's amazing. And I'm so blessed and I'm so grateful that the Lord has been gracious to me. But all of this that represents my life as John Andrews, and your life might look similar to that or it might look different. It's all relative in many ways. But the wealth that God has blessed us with through Jesus Christ is not simply meant to be kept to me. It's meant to be shared with my world. I'm meant to use it to make his name known in the world. Whether it's here in Bolton or my little town of Scunthorpe, or whether it's across the United Kingdom or whether it's across Europe and the world, we have been given so much. And now Jesus, like he said to the man 21 centuries ago, go, I loose you, go. He's saying to me and you, now look, take all that you are, take all that you have in Jesus and go. Just go. I loose you in Jesus' name. Does that make sense? You sure still with me? Second thing I want you to see quickly is that the go of Jesus is always bigger than here. I don't know if you noticed this in our reading, but it says this, that the man went away. Jesus said, go home. And it says, as the man went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. Jesus told him to go home, a world beyond himself. Just step out of yourself for a moment. It's not about you, but there's a wider circle. It's your home. But the man so captures the loosing moment of Jesus that he doesn't just go home, wherever home is, but he goes to the whole city and brings the good news of Jesus to the whole city. I love this. Jesus, when speaking to his young disciples as he's about to leave them, he says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, your home, but Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. In other words, something that's not just about here, but something that's about there. And my goodness, it's wonderful if we can reach out to here where we live, but I think that's a sort of a no-brainer, right? That's an obvious thing for a Christian community to do, placed in Bolton, to be reaching out to Bolton. Come on. Can I say this? Please don't be offended. I might as well get hung for a sheep as for a lamb now. I might as well be in. Listen, you don't get any prizes for reaching your home. Your home's your home. If there's one community that loves Bolton, it should be this community. That was your cue to say, amen. Well, you don't live here, John. I don't need to live here. We as a Christian community are called to love our home. We're called to love where we live. We're called to love the place where God has placed us. But wouldn't it be fantastic if we went even beyond that? If we said, hey, absolutely, as the bridge along with other Christian communities in Bolton, we need to reach our home. We need to touch our home with as much of the gospel as we can. But wouldn't it be brilliant if then you had a community that says, well, but what about the boundaries beyond Bolton? What about the world beyond Bolton? What about the world beyond where my home is? What about the world beyond where I live? What about those who've never heard the name of Jesus once? People sometimes say of the United Kingdom, you may have heard me say this before in a different setting, but people sometimes say the United Kingdom has rejected Jesus. And my response to that is often this: most people in the United Kingdom have not met Jesus to reject him. And in our world right now, ladies and gentlemen, this is not your fault, and it's not my fault, but in our world right now, at least a third of the world's population have never heard the name of Jesus presented to them in this fantastic good news story even once. But that's the same for this story. Before this man goes to his city, no one in that city had heard of Jesus. No one in that city knew what Jesus was doing. No one in that city knew anything about Jesus. And it was this man who takes the message of Jesus, not just to his home, which is a wonderful thing, but he now thinks about the whole city and takes it to them. Does that make sense to you? I'm a great believer in missions trips. When we pioneered our first church, we started a missions program within the first year of that little church. Only about a dozen of us, 18 people by the end of the first year, 16 people by the end of the first year. And we had launched our world missions program. And within the next couple of years, we took teams all over the world. And people said all the time to me, why are we taking teams to the Philippines when we've got needs here at home? Why are we taking people to different parts of the world when England has its own needs? Why don't we just send them money? Why don't we just like write a check and send it? And that's good as well to do all of that. But I'm a great believer in actually encouraging people to step beyond their home, step beyond number one yourself, now step beyond your home and step into a bigger world that Jesus loves and Jesus is interested in and Jesus wants to save. And every single time, without exception, I have taken people from this country to different parts of the world on mission. Every time, without exception, it has transformed their perspective, it has transformed their hearts, it has enriched them, and it has, without exception, enlarged them. Because they step out of themselves, they step out of the boundary of their postcode and their home that they're used to and they're familiar with. Now they step into something beyond themselves, something bigger, something that will stretch them, something that will move them. And every single time it demands something of them that they didn't know was there. It changes them in a way that they didn't expect. And it not only allows them to enrich other people, they themselves get enriched and they get enlarged. And I love this. In our first little church, there was one particular man, and no matter how many times we advertised the missions trip, he just wouldn't go. And I went up to him one day and I said, Martin, come on. Come on a missions trip with us. Come out with us. Your skills, your heart, you're a good man. You've got a servant heart. Why don't you come with us on mission? What's stopping you from going on mission with us? Now, we're only talking about 2 weeks. We're talking about, you know, instead of going on holiday, you go on a missions trip. And I was desperate to get him out to the Philippines, which was a bit of a challenge for him, because this was the village he'd grown up all of his life, worked on a local farm. And I said, Martin, come on, what's stopping you going with me? This is what he said, honest to God, this is what he said to me. He said, Pastor, the reason I don't go on mission is because there's too many foreigners there. That's exactly what he said to me. There's too many foreigners there. Now, we sort of laugh at that, but I get it. What he was saying was, I don't want to step into a world that's uncomfortable, a world that will challenge me, a world that will test me, a world where I've no control, a world that will push me to the very edge. I don't want to step into that. I'd rather stay here where I know everything is, and I'd rather stay here where I'm completely in control. And that's absolutely fine. That was his choice, and he was able to do that. But what a tragedy that actually we miss the opportunity to see a world beyond our home. Ladies and gentlemen, you are here today. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are saved today. You are saved today because Jesus left home. Let's just think about that for a minute. Me and you are going to heaven, not because of anything we've done, because we're brilliant people, but because he left home and came into our world and gave his life for every one of us. Jesus is not asking you to do what he hasn't done. And Jesus is saying to me and you as the Bridge Church, will you open your heart to a world beyond home? And there'll always be a rationalization that says, well, we've got needs here. Of course we have. We'll always have needs here. We'll always have problems here. We'll always have the poor here. We'll always have stuff here. That's why we're here, right? To minister to the people here. But actually, there is a world beyond here. A world that needs the Christian community to go, either in partnership with other Christian communities, in sending our money, or even in going ourselves on missions trips and touching people around our world. I say this to Christians all the time. Listen, if you're thinking of going on a missions trip, don't pray about it. You'll pray yourself out of it. People don't pray about going on holiday. People just go, do you know, I fancy a holiday. Do you know, I fancy Malta. Just go online, check it out. Boom. Within an hour, we've booked a package holiday to Malta. We didn't pray about it. We didn't fast about it. We just fancied Malta. It's 2 weeks. What's the worst that could happen? 2 weeks in Malta. And yet, when it comes to mission trips, people go, oh, I need to pray about it. No, you don't. Stop praying about going on mission trips. You don't need to pray. You just need to make a decision. You want to go or not? Okay, I'm feeling the love has now really left the room, so I'm going to leave it. I'm going to leave it there. Don't pray yourself out of it. Just go. Just go. Jesus said to the man, "Go home." The man didn't go. Hold on a minute. Let me just think about what I need to do. Let me have a week of prayer and fasting. No. Just go home. Just go home. Tell your Jesus story. And actually, we overcomplicate mission. We make it like this white knuckle ride. We make it this, if Jesus doesn't speak. Well, let me say this. He has spoken. He said to every follower of Jesus in the world right now, he's saying to all of us, go. Go. Whatever that looks like. And it'll look like different things for different people. But go. Are you with me? Still love me? You sure? All right then. Here's the last one, and I'm drawing this to a close. You will be glad to hear. Jesus's go is always bigger than now. Now, to get this one, we've got to go to another bit of the Gospels. And Mark's Gospel really helps us with it. So a few months later, Mark tells us this. So this story has happened, and in a number of months, probably 3, 4, maybe 6 months later, Mark tells us of a follow-up story. And in Mark chapter 7, it says this. Listen to these words. Jesus then left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon. So that's way up in the north. He came down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. Decapolis means 10 cities. There are some people brought him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on the man. Okay? And then Mark finishes the story in Mark 7:37 with these amazing words. People were overwhelmed with amazement. This is what they said. He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Now you're sitting there going, so what? That just sounds like Jesus to me. Yes, but look at where it happens. It happens in the Decapolis. The Decapolis is the area the man who was delivered from the demons lived. And remember what happened when Jesus cast the demons out of the man? Back to our story. Look at what it says. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes, that's where Decapolis is, asked, or Matthew and Mark says, begged Jesus to leave because they were overcome with fear. Mark tells us the same story. He says, so the man that Jesus touched began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. Let's put all this together, and what do you get? When Jesus cast the demons out of the man, the people begged Jesus to leave. Then before Jesus gets into the boat to leave, the man wants to go with Jesus, and Jesus said, no, 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 you go. Mark tells us the man didn't just go home into his home city, but he went to the Decapolis, the 10 cities. 6 months later, Jesus returns to the Decapolis, the place where they begged him to leave, and now they're begging him to stay. And the reason they're begging him to stay, I would suggest to you, is because this man has gone through the Decapolis. He's gone through his area. He's gone through his region, through his city. And he's told the Jesus story. And his story has been one of the key factors to prepare the way for Jesus to come back to that place. You see, it wasn't just about right now. It's about 6 months' time. It's about 8 months' time. It's about 12 months' time. It's about 2 years' time. It's about stuff we're doing today that might not harvest immediately, but sooner or later, Jesus is going to walk into that situation. And because of what the bridge has done, because of where you've gone, because of what you've given, because of what you've invested right now into your locality, Jesus is able to do something greater and bigger and beyond anything we could possibly imagine. It's not just about now. Jesus left home 2,000 years ago. And today, ladies and gentlemen, thousands of people will come to Jesus as Messiah. Thousands of people will find the hope of the world. Thousands of people will open up their gates and receive the King of Glory in for someone who came 21 centuries ago. It wasn't just about then, it's about now. It's not just about my now, it's about the then of tomorrow. And sometimes we look at what the bridge is doing. Sometimes we look at our missions programs. Sometimes we look at what we're giving and where we're going and how we're serving. Nothing's happening. But this man went through the Decapolis and he just told everybody, I was once demonized, I was once living like an animal in the tombs, and now look at me, I've been transformed. Who transformed you? What transformed you? What program did you go on? Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Son of God, transformed my life. And then the next time Jesus visits that place, they're all begging him to stay. Come on. His go is always bigger than me. If your go is only about you, it is much, 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 much too small. And he loves you, and he loves me, and he wants to bless the socks off you, and he wants to bless the socks off me. But if that's where the story stops, we are missing most of the story. His go is never just about me. His go, ladies and gentlemen, now listen carefully, is never just about Bolton. It is about Bolton, but it's not just about Bolton. And this community, along with other Christian communities, should be doing everything in our power to reach Bolton, doing whatever we can. And I know you're doing that. But it's even beyond Bolton, to a world that is yet to hear of Jesus. And his go is never just about now. It's about the things that he wants to do. Let it be written for a future generation, the psalmist said, that a people not yet created may praise the Lord. And we are not just here for now, we are here for then. We're not just here for ourselves, we're here for them. We're not just here for Bolton, we are here for the world. And ladies and gentlemen, in the challenges you're going to hear over the next couple of weeks, open up your heart. You're blessed. You're a blessed man. You're a blessed woman. I know that material blessing's relative, but you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus if you're a follower of Jesus. You've got something that if you simply have the courage to share it and give it, you can enrich and enlarge and help Jesus transform your world. Some of us just need to come to the realization that what we have and where we are and what he has given, if combined with opportunity, produces a phenomenal resource in the hand of the Lord that he can use for his glory and use to reach men and women. Jesus, I want to go with you. Jesus, I want to stay with you. Well, who wouldn't want to stay with Jesus? Jesus, I need to stay with you. And Jesus said to the man, no, no, what you need to do is go. What you need to do is go to those who need from you what I give to you. And if every Christian in Bolton grabbed that idea, wow. If every Christian in the world, come on band, well done. If every Christian in the world grabbed that idea, wow. If every one of us realized it's not just about me, it's not just about home, and it's not just about now. It would transform the way we see him. Transforms the way we see ourselves. It transforms the way we see each other. And it transforms the way we see our world. I can't tell you where to go. I can't tell you how to go. But what I do know is that every single one of us who loves Jesus, we are called to go. And if we will go, if we will carry him to our world, then maybe, just maybe, we will be instruments for his glory and salvation to the ends of the earth. If you can, will you stand with me? Let me pray for you. The band's going to lead us in a final song. I hope you've heard my heart today. No attempt to coerce you, no attempt to create guilt, because that doesn't work. But what I've attempted to do today is convince you that whoever you are, if you're a follower of Jesus, right now, whether you've been a Christian like me a million years, or whether, like the man in our story, you are barely, that the ink is barely dry on the contract. If you're a follower of Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, then all of us were called to go. And if Jesus lives within you, then each of us have something to go with. If nothing else, you've got a story. A story that proclaims to the world, I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was once blind, but now I see. I was once wretched, and now I'm rich. I was once a sinner, and now I'm a saint in Christ. I was once dead, and now I'm alive. I once lived in the tombs like an animal, and now I live at the table of the King like a son and a daughter. The world needs to hear that story. And me and you are the means to telling that story. Jesus loosed the man and said, go home and tell them what the Lord has done for you. May Bridge be a church that goes. May we be a community that goes. A go that is bigger than us, bigger than here, and a bigger than now. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters, I pray for myself that we will be a going people. Lord Jesus, thank you for going. We are here today because of your go. You didn't stay in heaven. You didn't send an angel. You didn't send a message. But you became human flesh and lived among us. And we're so grateful. And Lord, I pray over the next few weeks as we hear opportunity to go. May the go of the gospel live in our hearts. May the go of Jesus pervade our minds. May the go of the kingdom of God saturate our being. And in our going, may we bring your kingdom to the earth and your purpose to the lives of men and women. In Jesus' name, amen.